It's a Victory Monday, and let's keep the celebration going on your morning tailgate.
Fire up the queue. Put the drinks on ice, Clay. Go get the Wagyu beef. We're not dealing with sirloin today. It is a Victory Monday here at Raider Nation Radio. Good morning and welcome to the morning tailgate. I would love to say I told you so, but who saw this one? We had a few callers on Friday that did, and we're going to get into that. But what a weekend. UNLV upsetting the world on Friday, ranked for the first time. Saturday at the Sphere. Unbelievable aesthetics. The Aces, winners of three straight. 1,000 points in a season for Asia Wilson. The Lights, unbeaten in four straight at home. The Aviators have won two straight. But Clay, the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Go into Baltimore and knock off the Super Bowl contending Ravens.
Boom.
And they do it in a way that many had us questioning a lot in that first half. We are going to dive into all of it. Eric Allen, Raiders legend, will join us at 8 a.m. We're going to break it all down. But more importantly, we are taking your calls. Clay, that phone better be lit up for all 3 hours because it is the first Victory Monday of the season. 702-365-9200. Call us. Hit us up on the Dollar Loan Center text line. We have a lot to talk about, but first we turn our attention to a man who is still basking in the glow of Baltimore and all that it has to offer. Vinny Bonsignor on assignment on the road. Good morning, Vinny.
You better put some crab cakes in that tailgate this morning, Chris and Clay, because there was no doubt that the Raiders came to Baltimore, took care of business. Took a little while, but they got it together in the fourth quarter. They showed what they are capable of doing when they play all three phases efficiently, offensively, defensively. Can't forget the special teams. They played spectacularly yesterday and did something that nobody really gave them an opportunity or a chance to do. They came to Baltimore and beat the Ravens. I am at my hotel overlooking beautiful Inner Harbor.
Oh, wow.
In Baltimore. The water is glistening this morning, and I may sense a little bit of a silver and black hue.
Ooh, a little extra glow.
They took care of business. It was a great win for the Raiders, no doubt about it. They needed it. Let's not kid ourselves. There was no way they wanted to get on the plane. Heading back last night to Las Vegas in an 0-2 hole, the very thing that they wanted to try to avoid. Well, they definitely did avoid that. Now they come home, you guys, to the Carolina Panthers, who look beatable, let's just say that.
They look ripe for the picking. Let's call it that. Ripe for the picking. But I got to give credit to some of our callers on Friday. There was a lot of negativity, Vinny, after we talked to you on Friday. A lot of negativity about what this weekend and what had in store for the Silver and Black. But Dom from the 215 said, quote, "Carlson kicks us into the win column." And Dom from the 215, you called it. I could only imagine what he was doing on his couch watching that game as Daniel Carlson is lining up for his fourth field goal as they bleed the clock. And he kicks them into victory. 26-23, first win of the season. And we talked about, how many times have we talked about since I have joined this fantastic program? The paths to victory, the paths to a successful season. Well, it all started 1-1. In basically every variation we talked about, it started 1-1. Here we are, the Raiders, with a massive confidence booster, and it was really a tale of two halves.
Yeah, it was two different halves. And really, I mean, they put it together in the fourth quarter. It was a memorable 10-minute stretch or so where they outscored the Ravens 13-0. And all due respect to Daniel Carlson, who was 4-4, by the way, on his field goals yesterday. None of that happens without Max Crosby, Robert Spillane, Ja'Cory Bennett had a heck of a football game. It doesn't happen without Brock Bowers, who's all of a sudden maybe one of the top five tight ends in the NFL, certainly off to a historic start in terms of rookie tight ends. It doesn't happen with Davante Adams doing the toe dance on the sideline, drawing a critical pass interference. I know there's some Raven fans who are mad at that call, but when you're making things happen, as Davante Adams was yesterday, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to calls. So he does his thing.
How about Gardner Minshew? 30 of 38 had the one blip on the screen with the interception, the first half interception. That can't happen. But settled down and played a good, efficient football game. I think he's leading the NFL right now in pass completion percentage. That's what we kept saying he needed to do. He needed to be efficient at the quarterback position. They changed some things in terms of his protection, got him out being mobile a little more in that second half, and got the job done. The offensive line, still a work in progress. I've been saying that I'm a little bit worried about the offensive line. I still believe that they'll get it together. They'll get Jackson Powers Johnson. It feels like he's close maybe on Sunday against the Panthers. Colton Miller, I think, is going to have better days. Maybe he's just kind of shaking off the rust. A rough first half for him, but he put it together in the second half as well. So, as you said, 1-1 was what we were assuming the Raiders would be. Didn't think it would play out the way it did, but here we are. The Raiders are 1-1 coming home to play the Panthers and the Browns, two winnable games, I think, and see where they can grow this from, how they can build off of this, because I think this was a happy team yesterday. It was a satisfied team yesterday for the most part, and again, affirmation in that fourth quarter of what they're capable of doing when they can play efficient football in all three phases.
You know, it almost feels like a week is not long enough to break this one down because of everything that kind of happened, the highs and lows and things of that. But I want to start with Max Crosby because I think, obviously, this is where this team starts and ends, Clay. And what we saw yesterday was an absolute disruption of the machine. I mean, you talk about a team that was completely put off schedule because of one player. Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking away the defense and just the collective that it was, but Max Crosby was a man possessed, specifically in that first half. He continued it in the second half, but he was everywhere. Passes defense, tackles for a loss, run game tackles, sacks, obviously. But, I mean, everywhere. But the biggest play of the game did not even happen between the whistles. Gardner Minshew throws an egregious interception. Just, he hesitated. He underthrew his receiver. Didn't go through his progressions because, and we can get into the tape later, but looking at that play, if he just waits 0.3 seconds, Davante Adams is wide open on an underneath route, and he has nothing but green grass in front of him. That's neither here nor there. It is what he did, pulling Gardner Minshew aside, between the plays, getting in his face in a loving but aggressive saying, "We got you. Bounce back.
We got your back. Don't do it again, but we got your back. Don't fall apart on us."
And what does the offense do? Scoring four straight drives, unanswered with 13 points in that second half. It was incredible. You talk about a leader to the highest degree, number 98 for the Silver and Black.
That's exactly the kind of leadership you want out of, elite players. But for Max to go and do that, and Gardner responded too. Gardner, he thanked him right there on the field, all right, let's go. And things began to change right there. And, when your elite players come out and do things like that, that's the kind of communication that shows you there's a real bond among this team. And make no mistake, that was important. That was more than just words on the field.
It was massive. And Vinny, when you look at, and I'm not sure if you saw it in real time, but as the broadcast is showing it, you're sitting there, and I know every member of Raider Nation is sitting there saying, okay, this is now going one or two ways, because it was such a long shot of the two of them and their interaction. And, Max is pointing the finger, putting it on Gardner's chest protector. But again, it's an aggressive, we got you. We got you. Let's go out and get this done. And it was going to go one of two ways, because that video was going to get played one of two ways, whether they lost or they won. But the fact that they won, and it showed what Max is capable of, not only on the field, but what he is like in the room. We give coaches credit all the time about understanding when to get in the grill of a player, right? We give them all the – but how about these players and the accountability for one another there, Vinny?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And any coach will tell you that they need that. They need that from the players. Call it self-policing or just staying on top of each other, holding each other accountable. But, in Max's case, letting Gardner know we got you. And Gardner talked about it afterwards. there were defensive players coming up to him in the offense. We got you guys. We got you guys. And basically saying, you'll get it together, but we got you until you do. And they absolutely did. The Raiders defense played a marvelous game again. You're not going to play perfect, and you're not going to pitch a shutout against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, but they kept it close enough to give the Raiders offense a chance to get it together. And, you know, we've been talking about this offense, and I know a lot of fans have been frustrated, getting mad, and I get that, and I understand that. But look at teams around the NFL, especially with new quarterbacks, especially with new coordinators. It takes a little bit of time. I know fans don't want to hear that. But Vince, we talked about this, how the way things are structured, especially when you make coaching changes, especially when you make quarterback changes, you're really going to need that first month of the season to kind of figure out who you are, what your strengths are, what you can and cannot do. The key, of course, is figuring out ways to win even as you're figuring yourself out. And by the way, that figuring yourself out is an ongoing process. You're going to be doing things in December that you probably never thought you'd be able to do or would do in October or September. So let that thing play out. Let this offense find its footing. I felt like they started to get there in the fourth quarter on Sunday, and that's without the benefit of a running game, which I know some fans already are saying, abandon the run, just throw it to Devontae and just throw it to Brock Bowers. That's not sustainable. You got to get the running game going. But they were able to survive on Sunday and win and flourish even without a key component of their game being on top of their game. So we'll see where that goes. But yeah, the leadership of Max Crosby, and I'm going to throw Robert Spillane in there as well. He played a massive football game yesterday. An interception, a tip ball, 12 tackles, 10 solo tackles. Max Crosby on the front line at defensive end. And then you got Robert Spillane right behind him at linebacker doing his thing. And then let's talk about Jakorian Bennett. How good he's played already in two games. Jack Jones doing his thing. Nate Hobbs. The safeties. This is a really good Raiders defense, and they need the Raiders offense needed that defense to do everything that they did to keep this a close game and give them an opportunity to turn the lights on in that fourth quarter. And sure enough, that's exactly what they did.
We're breaking it all down here on the tailgate. Coming up, we're taking your call, 702-365-9200. We want to hear from you. It's a Victory Monday on the tailgate.
Oh, how sweet it is. Raiders Radio Network with a call. Jason Horowitz has been calling several years of games, and none happier than that. The joy coming out of his mouth was sensational as the Raiders were able to put forth that fourth quarter comeback. And we'll have his calls, the final call, the touchdowns, and more. But we also want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. 702-365-9200. Vinny, live in Baltimore. Vince Sapienza Clay here in Las Vegas. Up on the text line as well, brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. And Daniel Carlson. The special teams, part of that, the complimentary nature of winning football games, that's how you go and do it in Baltimore.
All three phases. Mm-hmm. All three phases. I thought we were just at a wedding with the celebrant.
Yeah,
man, it felt like we were, and the phones are lighting up. I mean, this feels like some kind of day. Let's get out to the callers, Clay.
All right, let's do it. 702-365-9200. Johnny in Orange County, thank you for holding. Good morning to you.
Morning, fam. Thank you for taking my call.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, man. Just, you know what, man? Overall, I got to see some of the game, got to listen to some of the radio, so it was good. Different type of thought process on the actual game calling itself. But at the end of the day, man, you know, we got the win. Just like Al said, just win by any means necessary. And post-game, I love to see that AP talked about composure, hard hat mentality. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what NFL is, you know. Wins are hard to come by, but I just hope our guys offensively learn what it is to win as a unit. Offensive line just stepping it up when we needed it to. Second half adjustments were set in. And, man, what a game by Brock, man. That dude's a stud. He looks like a little man-child out there, man. He's a big boy out there handling his business. And I just want Raider Nation to know just to – to stay composed is like the team. You know, we can't get too high. We can't get too low. We've got to trust the process. And just, you know, just let's get another dub. And any given Sunday, man, we can't get too overconfident on Carolina. Let's just stick to the assignments, stick to the game plan, and let's get a win at home. One love. Thanks.
Johnny in Orange County, good man. And that's the thing. Like, you're riding high right now, but you have all the good reasons to, because you really got a chance to see what it all looks like.
Vinny, let's touch base on Brock Bowers. He mentioned it. Little man child, 15 catches in his first two games. That's the most by a rookie tight end in NFL history in your first two NFL games. He is as advertised, and I still don't even think we're close to seeing what his top looks like.
Yeah, just scratching the surface. There's no doubt about that. But once you get the ball into Brock Bowers' hands, good things happen without question. And there has to be intentionality to get him the ball, and there obviously was yesterday along with Devontae Adams. Don't forget about Michael Mayer as well and Trey Tucker. That's the beauty, I think, of this Raiders offense, is that there's still some pieces that haven't necessarily been tapped into fully, but it's a long season, and I think both of those players are gonna get theirs as well. But Brock Bowers, to me, we're literally talking about, and this is not hyperbole or any sort of an exaggeration, but he's arguably the greatest tight end that ever played in college football. I don't know if West Coast fans necessarily were in tune with what he was doing over there at Georgia. It's a long way away, and we're focused on what we're focused on here on the West Coast. But he was doing spectacular things from day one at Georgia. You talk to the coaches, you talk to the players about how he changed the work ethic at that program and the dynamic of that program. And then putting it out there on the field, in addition to doing what he was doing in the weight room and on in practices, he was just a spectacular football player. And I'd argue this. He might have been the best player in this draft. And again, not a hyperbole, not an exaggeration. He might be the best player in this draft. I know it's a quarterback-driven league, and those quarterbacks were inevitably going to go earlier. But you look at what those rookie quarterbacks are doing, and that's not to say that any of those guys aren't going to get it turned around, because I believe a few of them will. I don't think all of them will, but I think a few of them will. But it's been a struggle so far for the rookie quarterbacks. So whereas Brock Bowers has stepped right in and delivered, and he's just scratching the surface, Vince.
It's hard for rookie tight ends to also kind of blossom early portions of their rookie season, because so much is asked for them to do. But Brock Bowers seems to be able to take on all those kinds of responsibilities.
Yeah, and what did we talk about the day he was drafted, Clay? He's not just a tight end. I mean, it's almost doing him a disservice to list him as a tight end, because he does everything and did so at Georgia. If there's one player coming into this league, one tight end that was coming into this league that you figured would be able to transfer to the NFL game or transition to the NFL game with a little bit of ease, it was him, because you watched what he did at Georgia. It's exactly what the Raiders are doing with him here in the NFL. So not a major change for him. Yeah, they're going to ask him to block, and he definitely was doing some blocking yesterday and last Sunday against the Chargers. But what he ultimately is, somebody that you get the ball into his hands, and great things are going to happen the more you do that. And that was definitely the case yesterday.
Well, what's funny about that, what you just said, that it almost does him a disservice by listing him as a tight end. I just had shades and flashbacks at Jimmy Graham during the contract issue when they were arguing, he's listed as a tight end, but he has the receiver numbers. Those are champagne problems for a different day when it comes to the Raiders. But Brock Bowers is very much on track to do a lot of damage in this league. And again, you can see the growth literally quarter to quarter, drive to drive with Brock Bowers. I mean, it's fascinating to watch, and what he was able to do in that second half. And the connection and kind of instant chemistry. I'm a big fan of Top Ramen. Big fan.
Good call.
I prefer to cook mine in a pan, but, in a spot. You need that instant ramen, right? You just need the hot water, put it in the thing, wait 30 seconds, you're good to go out the door.
Never disappoints.
Throw a little green onions in there, by the way.
Ooh, a little shallots maybe? A little green onion? What I saw yesterday with Brock Bowers, it felt like instant ramen in that second. It felt like it just kind of happened over, not overnight, but over that half. It just felt like all of a sudden Gardner Minshew and Brock Bowers kind of just found the secret sauce, especially when Gardner rolled out to his right on that one that got Bowers down to the one. I mean, just little nuggets here and there. Feels like they are starting to really hit a stride here, Clay.
That's more phones out to San Jose. Don, thank you so much for holding. Good morning to you.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good morning.
That was such a that was such a refreshing win. Like, I think everyone was feeling down after the Chargers game, and that win got the fan base's confidence back up. I wanted to apologize to you guys, Vinny. I had texted in when they drafted Bowers, and I was disappointed they didn't get a lineman. And he was mentioning that Bowers is going to be an instant playmaker, whereas the offensive lineman, you might not see that instant difference. And we don't win the game yesterday without Bowers on the field, like, hands down. He really, him and Devontae Adams put the offense, they made the offense run. That was a big performance by the rookie. Spillane, Crosby, the defense, probably the best defense that I can think of in a long time. Spillane, we got to get him locked up. I think he's the best linebacker in my lifetime. I'm 32 years old, and I think he's the best linebacker in my lifetime watching the Raiders I've ever seen. He's flying around. He's making plays. He finds the ball. He's wherever the ball is, he's there. This was a big win. I can't wait to see what they do going forward. And thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for doing it, Don.
Robert Spillane's agent is going to be loving hearing that. He was absolutely on fire 2 weeks in a row. But how about that, Vinny? Some self-awareness. We can't all get it right. We're not GMs. We're not always going to get it right. But Don, admitting the error of his ways, talking about at the draft, 13th overall, Brock Bowers. Boy, I'm loving the tone of Raider Nation and the tailgaters this morning.
Yeah, you know, and in his defense, if Brock Bowers isn't there, I think they go offensive tackle without, you know, every single day of the week. Because it was a need. Let's not remember that. And I think it's still probably a work in progress. We'll see what happens. It's a long way off until next year's draft and all that kind of stuff. But when you have an opportunity to get the best player, arguably, in an entire draft at a position that, yes, he's a tight end, but really he's a weapon change your offense and enhance your offense and really be, like you said, the instant ramen, the instant payoff. You have to do it. And to me, it was kind of a no-brainer at that point. Was it surprising? It was more surprising that he was there. I can't believe. Look, I like Michael Penix. I think he's going to be. I think he'll be, has a chance to be good. But you're the Atlanta Falcons. I know you have Kyle Pitts and all that. But you had not a homegrown guy because he's from Napa Valley, but a home college-grown kid right in your backyard. Imagine him on that team right now. Imagine Brock Bowers giving them the payoff like right now, which is what they need. But, hey, an argument for a different day. He was there sitting for the Raiders. I thought Denver could have used him. A lot of teams could have used him, but – you know, like we said, it's a quarterback-driven league. Teams are going to be drafting quarterbacks early, right or wrong. And that's exactly what happened. And the Raiders benefited by getting, I think, the best player in this draft.
702-365-9200. The phones are lit up, Clay. We want to continue to hear from you. Don called it refreshing. And I think that's a great way to describe today. Because, again, if you watched any of the pregame shows, as we talked about on Friday, Clay, nobody was going to talk about the Raiders and the Ravens because for them, it was an easy Baltimore dub. Move on. Let's talk about the next game. Let's talk about Kansas City. Let's talk about the Lions. Let's do all that. No one.
Nobody.
No one.
And that's not an exaggeration. That really was all one-sided.
Literally, it was all purple. On all the picks, it was all purple. So when you say refreshing, I don't want to say surprising. Because surprising, it's the NFL. Anybody can win on any given Sunday. Refreshing's a great way to talk about it.
Raiders 66 in Las Vegas. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing?
On a victory morning. Monday, doing great.
I tell you, this Monday's a lot better than last Monday. Shoot,
hello.
Yeah, you're talking about that purple haze maybe that was going on. But, you know, I think we do have to take a moment of silence for all those people that had Baltimore in their survivor pools.
Ooh.
And they are now done. Yeah. So that.
Yeah.
But,
adios.
You know, I know. I mean, everybody picked Baltimore, and how could you not? But when you never quit, you always have a chance, and that's what Antonio Pierce preaches. Never quit, and that's what they did, and that's what Max was telling Gardner on the sideline, poking him in the chest, saying, "We got your back." And how cool is that? You're the new kid in town. You're the new kid in school. And you've got the captain of the football team coming up to you and saying, "Hey, don't give up. We're behind you." I mean, that's got to give you so much confidence. It just really does. But you can't say enough about the defense. You know, this is the first time in 2 years that the Ravens were held without a touchdown in the first half. This is the first time in 49 straight games that the Raiders had been down by double digits in the fourth quarter, and they came back and won. So maybe it's not Minshew Mania yet, but I think it's growing, and I think it's coming. And what a difference this makes. If you're 0-2, the numbers say you got a 5% chance at the playoffs, and if you're 1-1, a 45% chance. So the numbers there are great, but Vinny's correct. You can't just throw out the run game. You can't just eschew the run game and say, forget it. But that touchdown drive they had in the fourth quarter, there were no runs on that drive. And I give credit to the coaching staff for making that adjustment. In the past, we just said, you know what, there's a rock there. We're going to keep hitting it until we break through, and the rock usually won. These guys said, okay, we're going to use the run judiciously, but we know the pass is the right now the way to go until that offensive line can get strengthened up and become what we think it's going to be. So I credit the coaches, and everybody's great. But that 1-2 punch of Max and Spillane, that's becoming quite a thing for the Raiders. I thank you guys for the time. Let's enjoy this win, and it's on to the next one.
66, thank you for the call. And let's get one more in as we head out to the base of Mount Hood, out to Oregon. Even out in southern Nevada, we heard this voice screaming and yelling at the final call. Good morning to you, Raider Mike.
What's up, boys?
Hello. Good morning.
Oh, Vinny's still here, right?
Oh.
No. East Coast Vinny. Go get Dominic's Pizza. It's the best pizza I've ever had in my life. And that was 50 years ago. So, just a pies on comment. Anyway.
I appreciate that.
I tried to get through Friday to tell you this was going to happen. The phone lines were just blocked. Dude, Lamar Jackson is overrated. I watched Bowers destroy my Gators by marriage. I'm really a duck, but I was married to a Bull Gator's niece.
Rough.
I watched Bowers destroy everything, not just the SEC, everything. I'm like, whoa, I was right. This guy's going to destroy things. He's going to change the league. Kelsey's getting old. There's a new and better version right now. And I love that. And going into where I went to college, Salisbury University, Eastern Shore, Maryland, all my friends and family are Ravens. You want a sweet victory? That's it. None of them called me all night, so I called them and just said,
"How nice of you!
What happened? Look what happened, and it's going to keep happening." And a condor running over to the sideline, taking his little quarterback in, and going, "Little gardener snake, you can grow into the real snake, little Stabler. Keep growing, bruh. We got you. Good with this, man." We're coming. And Carolina, God, wow, you're going to get hurt. I can't help you there. It all looks good. Raiders!
Beautiful, Mike. That'll be a nice Christmas card from the family in Baltimore.
picture of Brock Bowers, not even the family, just Brock Bowers smiling.
Oh, well done. And even Don from the 215 says, thank you, Vince. You're right. I called it on Friday. I was going crazy because I was at the game, a two-hour drive for me, straight down 95. Great game.
He was there. Oh, my goodness. Not only did he manifest it, he got to witness it in person.
Oh, Vinny, could you speak to the Raider Nation that showed up there? Because even Antonio Pierce had brought that up in the post game.
Yeah, they were loud and proud. Raider Nation was here in Baltimore. I know when I got back to the hotel, they were celebrating at the hotel bar here in the Inner Harbor, right smack in the middle of Little Italy in the East Harbor here, beautiful downtown area.
Nice.
In Baltimore. So I heard my name called a few times, and I went over there and said hello to some of the fans. Shout out to
just
the
hello
fans that I had to I had to get up. It was a long day yesterday. I had to get back up to the room. Did want to watch a little bit of the Bears and. and the Houston Texans last night. Boy, there was some rough quarterback play in that game, for sure. But anyway, yes, the Raider Nation was loud and proud yesterday, and they started getting really loud in that fourth quarter. And on a couple of those plays where, you know, Brock Bowers was doing his thing and Devontae Adams and then Max Crosby with the big sack, there was a tip pass by Robert Spillane. You think about what the defense did to kind of hold down that fort again to give the offense a chance to make up ground. But then also, you know, in that 13-0 run, how many times was there a three and out, that late three and out, to get the ball back to Daniel Carlson and the offense and kick that field goal? There was great special teams play. It just really was, again, like I said, affirmation of what's possible when the Raiders put this all together. And I want to go back to something that Raider 66 said about you can't just abandon the running game. That's going to be something that the Raiders continue to work on. I think better chemistry along the offensive line. Getting Jackson Powers Johnson, and he looked close yesterday when he was out there working on the field, and just feels like he's in good spirits. It feels like he's on target maybe for Sunday's home opener against the Panthers. But at some point along the line in yesterday's game, it really did become by any means necessary. And sometimes you just have to chuck out what you want to be doing and do what you have to do. And that's exactly what they did. And one more thing on Brock Bowers, Vince. You know, yeah, it felt like he's coming along and the development is there. But, man, I don't know how much more development he really needs. I think it's just a matter of getting him the ball. And the Raiders did some things to be able to get, you know, Gardner Minshew on the move. The offensive line did a better job of giving him some time. I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah.
Give Gardner Minshew some time. You know, maybe sometimes manipulate things by getting him out on a roll and out in space. But I watched Brock Bowers. He gets open. There's no, like, real development that he needs. He's getting open. And when he gets the ball, then special things happen. So it's really on Luke Getsy and Gardner Minshew. And I'll say this, the offensive line, just to give Minshew a little bit of extra time for things to develop downfield, whether it's for Devontae Adams, whether it's for Brock Bowers, but also Trey Tucker and Michael Mayer and Jacoby Myers coming up with a big catch yesterday. He'll get implemented more. And then, of course, that running game. At some point, that's going to have to be a staple of this offense. But yesterday, it's not like they abandoned it, but they basically said, look, it's not working. No use just beating our head, you know, against a brick wall. Let's go start throwing the ball. And that's what they did, and that's what they had to do, and that's helped them win this game yesterday.
Yeah, as it pertains to Brock Bowers, in terms of development, what I'm talking about is not necessarily like he needs to add this to his game. It's just kind of fine-tuning. I mean, I said it before the season started. Devontae Adams is going to be the apple of the eye of the offense in terms of volume and targets, but I said Brock Bowers is going to be a very, very close second, and I believe yesterday what we saw in Baltimore is a microcosm of what that's going to look like. First time in Raiders history, two players, 9 catches each, over 90 yards, Devontae and Brock doing that yesterday. I agree with you, Vinny. I think he's there. I mean, I think he's there. Now it's a matter of him being able to play the games within the games, right? Setting up linebackers in the first quarter to the fourth quarter, seeing dominance from the first quarter all the way through the fourth quarter. And a lot of that is predicated on the quarterback just getting him the ball, which I do believe is now, and if it wasn't before, it is now going to be something we're going to be seeing a lot. Those targets are going to shoot through the roof. Brock Bowers was trending on social, Clay. Why? Well, fantasy football. But,
good man.
But you know it's a good thing for the Raiders when that's happening, because top 5 tight end in fantasy right now, I would not be shocked if he is a top 3 by the end of the season. And this is all with maybe a little bit of sore foot still. A little bit of sore foot.
Yeah. Maybe,
you know, didn't seem to be hampering him at all yesterday. I mean, it was really a display and a really kind of welcome to the NFL. This is now your standard. This is now your floor.
Especially late in that game when the Ravens defense, instead of zoning Devontae, instead of zoning Brock Bowers, you're putting him one-on-one with guys. He was winning that matchup each and every time. That's exactly what you're hoping for when you draft him. 702-365-9200. We'll talk to Eric Allen, our Monday morning cornerback episode, will join us at the top of 8 o'clock here on Raider Nation Radio. But first, a word from Vinny Bonsignor.
Yeah, and by the way, he pirouetted, if that's even a word, for like 10 yards to get to the ball to the 1 foot yard, one foot line.
So graceful.
For Alex Madison.
So
yeah,
graceful.
Exactly. Like he dragged guys with him doing a spin. Hey, guys, I want to tell you about our new friend over at Milano Nail Lounge over at 3458 St. Rose Parkway in Henderson, just right around the corner from the Raiders practice facility in Henderson. They are the biggest lounge in town, featuring 4,000 square feet. A 4,000 square foot facility and a support staff of more than 20 talented professionals. They do it all. Manicures, pedicures, acrylics, gel X, hard gel, hybrid gel, dipping in countless art designs. They also do shampoo, blow dries, facials, lashes, and waxing services. Look, whether it's for us, whether you want to do that whole thing or for a loved one, a special someone, this is always a great gift idea. It's always a great idea to get your loved one out there. It always means something. We know that, guys, for our wives and our girlfriends. They're just minutes away from the Raiders facility, and right now they're offering a 20% off promotion for all fans and an extra 20% discount for anybody that buys a gift card. So give them a call at 725-204-7384. That's 725-204-7384. Ask for Tony. Tell him Vinny from the Morning Tailgate Show sent you and get that 20% discount. You could also visit their website at Milano Nails Lounge, genv.com. That's Milano Nails Lounge, genv.com.
Brock Bowers holds it in. He's dragging defenders. He's trying to get to the goal line, and he's down inside the one. Brock Bowers came free. They pick up 27 yards, and it's first and goal at the one.
Raider Nation Radio, we're going to hear a lot of those calls, and that is going to be music to the nation's ears. It is the Morning Tailgate. Vinny, Vince, and Clay. Vinny, still on assignment in Baltimore. He loved the crab cake so much, he just had to stay another day. Vinny, I mean, it's the Brock Bowers thing is great. But when we talk about turning points, and we hit it at the top of the show, but I cannot underscore the importance of this because the NFL is all about moments. Moments on the field, and maybe even more importantly, moments off the field. But the Max Crosby-Gardner Minshew exchange seems so huge, and it seems so pivotal, and it's hard to say it is a season-altering type moment because we're barely out of week two of the NFL schedule, but it feels that big, especially considering how massive of a win this is. And as someone like you and Clay, we're storytellers here, so we appreciate the story, and especially when we look back a year and the back and forth between Crosby and Minshew and the little boy comments and the trash talking with NFL films and all that, to see it come full circle and the first person off the bench to pick Gardner Minshew up is Max Crosby, the man who was putting him down a year ago. I mean, that is poetry in motion, and for it to end the way it did, it is storybook.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, shrimp and scallop fettuccine over the crab cakes, but I digress. Yeah, so
nice and light.
Yeah, so you're right, and you know, I know by today this game is literally behind the Raiders. They need to start focusing on the Panthers, and they absolutely will. Even after the game, Davante Adams, you know, This doesn't win us the Super Bowl today, but it was a big win, and for a lot of different reasons. And number one, the gelling and the coming together of a guy like Max Crosby, the spiritual leader of this team. And there's, you know, for the first time in a long time, or it's been coming, I guess, but it's really being solidified now. It's not just Max Crosby. You know, as Antonio Pierce said during the offseason, it's not just the Max Crosby show anymore. It is Robert Spillane. It is Christian Wilkins. You know, it is Nate Hobbs and Jack Jones. It's a whole collection of stars on that defensive side of the football and spiritual leaders in their own way that express themselves. And now, you know, as Gardner Minshew told us when he got the job as the starting quarterback, whether you like it or not, you're the leader of the team. You're the leader of the offense at the very least. And that's what he is, and that's what he needed to be yesterday, not just in vocalness and you know, saying the right thing and all that, but actually performing. It was time for Gardner Minshew to go out there and make some plays, and that's exactly what he did. You want to win some respect in the locker room? You want to earn some trust in the locker room? Go out there and make some plays. And when the Raiders needed plays to be made in that fourth quarter, it was Gardner Minshew, it was Davante Adams, and it was Brock Bowers. And that offensive line doing a little bit better. Jacoby Myers has a big catch. But really, for Gardner Minshew to be the leader of this team, which is that's what quarterbacks need to do, he needed to show it. And he did exactly that. So there's no doubt that he earned himself a lot of accolades, a lot of trust, a lot of admiration in that locker room. And Vince, the critical thing in all of this is the fact that they were this close to coming back to Las Vegas 0-2, and that would have been just a devastating blow to start this season for the Raiders. It's all of a sudden all the talk about here we go again would have started. Had they gone 0-2, you start thinking about, you know, is this the right quarterback? Is this the right system? All those questions that always crop up when you start a season off slowly, that's out the window, replaced by great energy, and affirmation of what's possible when they put this thing together and they do come back home 1-1 rather than the dreaded 0-2 hole, and it makes a world of difference.
The Raiders had lost a previous 49 straight games when trailing by 10 or more points in the fourth quarter. Who led that comeback? Snap the skid? Gardner Minshew. I mean, say what you will. I mean, the squirrely vet back there. Things looked rough. Things looked rough in that first half. And, you know, Antonio Pierce talked about it all week. They're banking on, you know, the biggest growth for the team from week one to week two. Well, it probably was from week one and a half into the – it took about six quarters to kind of see that boost. And I'm going to dig deeper into the run game and the offensive line coming up in the next hour. So I got a couple thoughts on that. So I'll save that for the next hour. But – what Gardner Minshew was able to do, this league is about resolve and about bouncing back. And what Gardner was able to do, and it's not about what the long term is in a game like that. It's how do you find victory in that moment? And Gardner Minshew, Luke Getsy, that offense, Brock, Devontae, Jacoby, everyone, the line, they found a way to do it, Clay. They found a way to do it. And at the end of the day, it's a Victory Monday.
Our Monday morning cornerback, Eric Allen, joins us next here on Raider Nation Radio.